I am not Justin. I have to grow just a little bit more in order to be Justin, and I have to shave my beard in order to be Justin. Justin is gone, so we're not going to be in Deuteronomy today. And so I was going around in my mind, so what are we going to tackle today? And I decided that we would we'd work in the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. There's a friend of mine named Dan Bunting. Encouraged when we were sitting with a lot of young people at a camp up in New York, he was talking to some young people about, well, how to start reading the Bible for yourself. That's kind of a daunting task sometimes. You know, where do I even start? Where do I even start? And so some people say, well, where do you start? Maybe start in the book of Mark, and you get through book of Mark, and chapter 1, chapter 2, kind of drop off. Or you start in Genesis. Okay, I'm really gung-ho in Genesis to get to Exodus, and oh, man, all these laws, this is hard. It is hard. It is hard to read the Bible, and there's a lot of confusing stuff in the Bible. But one thing that he encouraged some of the young people there to do is that's just kind of one of these no-brainer, easy ways to just kind of get started reading the Bible is to go through the book of Proverbs. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. Today is, what's today? The 26th. So let's read chapter 26. And so as a way to just kind of start, and you don't have to even remember where you are, if you miss one day, you know, just pick up with the next day. It's not like the book of Proverbs where it's like this story that you have to keep up with. You just pick up where you left off, and you if you miss a day, start with chapter 28. So anyway, I found that to be just ingenious. It's a very simple plan, but it's a really just good idea. If you're looking for a simple way to just start reading the Bible for yourself, just grab the book of Proverbs. And you know what? There's so many good things that the book of Proverbs has for us. Wisdom from God. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of God. So if we fear God, if we know that he is the source of all wisdom, this book has a lot of stuff that is going to be good for us. So we're going to read together, and we're going to start reading. Let's just read the chapter. Let's read verses 1 through 12 to begin with. Can I have a brave volunteer, please? Brave volunteer. Justin, please.
Like snow in summer and like rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without cause does not alight. A whip is for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, for you will also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he not be wise in his own eyes. He cuts off his own feet and drinks violence, who sends a message by the hand of a fool. Like the legs which are useless to the lame, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like one who binds a stone in a sling, so is he who gives honor to a fool. Like a thorn which falls into the hand of a drunkard, so is a proverb in the mouth of fools. Like an archer who wounds everyone, so is he who hires a fool or who hires those who pass by. Like a dog that returns to its vomit is a fool who repeats his folly. Do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him.
Verses 13 through 16. Lee, would you read that for us?
The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him, it breaketh again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render unreason.
In verses 17 through 26. Mike, do you want to read that for us?
Like one who takes a dog by the ears is he who passes by and meddles with strife not belonging to him. Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man who deceives his neighbor. Says, was I not joking? For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. Like charcoal to heat embers and wood to fire, so is contentious men to kindle strife. The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels, and they go down into the innermost parts of the body, like an earthen vessel overlaid.
all the way to the end of the chapter.
When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred covers itself with guile, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. He who digs a pit will fall into it, as he who rolls a stone, it will come back on him. A lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth works ruins.
Okay, just a word about the book of Proverbs. It's really, some of the chapters of Proverbs, there is no real outline that you can make of the book of Proverbs. That's not the purpose of these Proverbs. It's just kind of like short, pithy sayings that just give just this kernel of truth that helps us along the way. Sometimes looking at the subtitles for the chapters is almost humorous. I don't know what your subtitles are on your chapters. Mine's like instructions and warnings. What does that even mean? And then the next one is instructions and warnings. Warnings against foolishness. It's so general that it's not even helpful. So chapter 26. Mine doesn't even have a subtitle for chapter 26. But even though a lot of times there is no real kind of structure, you can see that sometimes there are verses that are kind of grouped together. So in this chapter specifically, since it's the 26th, that's why we're reading chapter 26. But what do you see as some of the big themes in this chapter? What do you see as the big themes?
Dealing with fools.
Okay,
about the fools, but how to deal with them.
Okay, how to deal with fools. Don't be a fool, and how to deal with fools. Okay, that's good. All the way from what verse 1 all the way to verse 12?
Yeah.
What else?
Shows the elements of sloth.
Okay. Slothfulness, being a sluggard, being lazy, verses 13 through 16. And then the rest of this chapter, what could we say? Okay. There's a lot of elements about how you speak. A lot of elements about... What's that?
Contention.
Contention, yes. Contention, that's a good one. Thinking about strife and how there's strife between people. It's just interesting that here in this chapter, at least, there's a lot of these verses that are grouped together. And when you do read these, a lot of times what we do with the book of Proverbs is we kind of take a text out of its context and we read it. And then what does that mean? Well, read some of the context below and above. And sometimes, even though they're not exactly related, sometimes you can explain and it's helpful. So verses 1 through 12 at the very beginning is going to be focused on fools. And specifically, it's focused on how you treat fools and how you deal with fools. Why would, in the book of Proverbs, we have a huge section on this? Have any ideas about that? Well, because we run into fools all the time. Okay, that's given. But what else? What else? Who was the book of Proverbs written to? Particularly.
Son of a king.
So this is the way it's penned at the very beginning of the book of Proverbs, that these are Proverbs of Solomon. Listen, my son. Listen, my son. Listen, my son. And whether it's talking about Solomon himself, and Solomon's, or talking about Rehoboam himself, or talking about one of the plethora of children that Solomon's going to have with all of these different wives, but he is talking to his sons, and they are going to have, because they are sons of a king, they're going to have a certain responsibility. And because they have this responsibility, you can see then how this would play into this this relationship that he has with, he's going to be having to deal with a lot of different people. And if you deal with a fool, you better be careful. If you're going to be sending messages, for example, you better be careful about who you send these messages to. So it is interesting when you go through the book of Proverbs, how many of these Proverbs do have some type of connection to someone who is sitting in authority. However, despite the fact that maybe I'm not a person in authority, as in, you know, I don't rule my own country. I'm not the boss at my workplace. But every once in a while, we do have opportunities to apply some of these things. Where would we apply some of these things? Or just reading through some of these ideas. He says, like, for example, in verse 1, like snow in summer and like rain in the harvest, so glory is not fitting for a fool. I get the summer and the snow part, right? That's not, you're not supposed to have snow in the summer. Except in Philly, every once in a while, you get something crazy. But then what about the rain and the harvest? What is that about? That's something that I at least did not appreciate very much until I moved to Guatemala, where the weather is just so very, very much like clockwork. You have a rainy season and you have a dry season. A rainy season and you have a dry season. And the same thing is true when you go to Palestine or the Israel. You have a rainy season, you have a dry season. That's the way it is in India. Nope, you have rain all the time. Maybe other places you have it that way. Nigeria, Liberia. Is it that way in Liberia? Rainy season and a dry season. And so that in some places, that's just like clockwork during the year. Not so much that way. Seattle, it's like wet season all the time. but here, you're not supposed to have rain during the harvest. In fact, if you have rain during the harvest, that's bad news because you're trying to dry out all of your crops. But that's doing this, giving glory to a fool, is kind of like that. Okay, so when would this be useful to us? Nate?
What's honor for? You know, why would you give someone honor? You know, it's typically to recognize something good that somebody has done. And so if you take somebody who's a fool, who's doing foolish things, and mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. David?
Yeah, so going off of that, I mean, just being mindful of just the entertainment that's out there, especially, like, you know, for younger ones as well, but really for all people, it can be very easy to get consumed by entertainment that glorifies foolishness and gives honor to foolishness. That allows people, you know, who God would identify as fools to be able to have an influence on others.
Yeah, yeah. And while we're there, what God would identify as fool, I do think that we need to back up and say, who is a fool? According to the book of Proverbs, what are we talking about when we're talking about fools? It's not just someone who is ignorant, or it's not just someone who maybe doesn't, who cannot read, or not just someone who, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about fools in the book of Proverbs. Who is a fool according to the book of Proverbs?
Someone who says there is no God.
Okay, that's one thing. So someone who says there is no God. There is a certain rebelliousness when we're talking about fools, people who are rebellious. People who, if they don't know, it's because they are rebellious and they don't want to know. It's because they are against God. And against his character. And so this is one of those terms that we use fool in one type of way in our language, but really when we're talking about fools in the Bible, you don't want someone who's going to be a rebellious guy. Don't give your honor then to individuals who are just rebellious and those who are fools. So thinking about that, there's a text in 1 Timothy that came to mind. 1 Timothy talks about the idea, he says to Timothy, when he's talking about, he says to Timothy, do not lay hands upon anyone hastily and thereby share responsibility for the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. So I like I like David's idea just about, okay, am I praising some of these bands or some of these celebrities who are in reality, looking at their life, they are fools, according to the book of Proverbs. They are rebellious against God. And giving them honor? It's like snow coming in the winter. I mean, snow coming in the summer. There we go. That's an excellent, excellent point. In Timothy, here's just another case scenario. Timothy had to be very careful about who he's going to put his hands upon, laying hands upon, that is approving of and selecting for maybe just helping to appoint these men who are going to be elders, possibly. But the idea that the idea is, don't put your hands on an individual. Give him honor hastily. Look at him and see if he is a fool or not. See if he's rebellious or not. Does that make sense? Any other ways that we can apply that, eh?
I used to think the old story, the Emperor's New Clothes, where somebody who was foreign came and told him that he was really cool, but it's the peer pressure.
That's excellent, excellent. And there's just a lot of different scenarios where that could be true. Absolutely. In any other comments about verse 1? We're not going to be able to get through all of these verses. One of the verses that's kind of confusing is in verse 4 and 5. He said, because it seems like it's contradicting himself. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you yourself also be like him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Wait a minute. Which one is it? Should I answer the fool according to his folly or not? What does he mean by that? How do we understand that?
If I get into an argument with a fool, it makes me a fool.
Yeah.
I'm arguing with something that I know is not, doesn't make sense.
Okay. Yeah.
To be done.
Yeah. Or a fool, how is he liable to speak with? Without thinking. Without
impulsive.
Thinking. Impulsive. Insulting. What is the first desire that I have? If someone out on the street just insults me, what do I want to do? I want to insult them back. But what have I done? I look foolish, yeah. I've put myself down on his level. Do you see what I just did? Okay, so I think I can understand that in verse 4. Don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you yourself be also like him. But what about the other one? Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. What does that mean? Lee's got all the answers.
If I say something foolish and you answer me, you're almost giving credence to what I'm saying. If you ignore me, you say, that's not right. But if you answer me, it just pumps me up. Okay, now we're having dialogue about it. I can tip my thought to you, regardless of how foolish it might be.
Okay.
Pretty much what I got out of this was just don't.
Okay. And definitely that the first verse is, yeah, don't bother with that. Don't bother with that. But what about, Justin, you have an idea?
The other thing is, if in all these scenarios that we're talking about, it's just further encouraging and adding fuel to the fire for the fool. But they're not learning what they actually should be doing or saying or whatever this circumstance was. So, by us we're just kind of just adding to it and not helping the situation if we're answering them.
Okay.
Whereas, I think in verse 5, it's more trying to add a contrast to, this is an opportunity for, others to learn and for everybody to see how the situation should be handled.
Yeah. And really, verses 4 and 5 seem to be talking about maybe even two different situations. And you have to have the wisdom in order to know, how am I going to answer this fool, or how am I going to answer this fool? Levi, did you have your hand up?
Yes. I had a couple. I guess it's a comment, but also it's a question. The comment with regards to this verse number 5, answering for according to his father. I guess that first part, I was thinking, answer him in a God-fearing way. So pretty much not necessarily fall into his foolish level.
Okay.
However, answer him in
Yeah.
But I guess the question is, like, the word wise,
yeah,
kind of like means a lot, right? So it means like you are knowledgeable, like you are knowledgeable. So how can a fool be have wisdom?
Yeah, if he...
unless they only see, like, I guess the contrary is they're full because they believe what they're saying is correct. Like, they think that they're wise, but they're actually not wise because, like, how they're acting, how they're presenting themselves. So
sure.
They're unconscious of it.
Yeah. And so how do you get through the... If there's any opportunity to get through to a fool, then you have to answer him according to his folly. You have to answer his arguments. And I wonder, just thinking about answering a fool according to his folly, thinking about the letters of Paul, did Paul ever... You know what? You use that argument. If we were going to use that argument, this would be the case. Can you think of any case where Paul did that? Well, he uses the logic that people have. Is, you know what? This is bad logic. But you know what? I will put up with this for just this foolishness for just a moment. Can you think of any time where he does that?
There's some of that in 1 Corinthians 15.
Okay.
How are the dead going to be raised? What kind of body is that?
Okay. So there, and specifically, depending on how you read it, but it's... baptizing for the dead. You know, if they say no, there's no resurrection, but then they're baptizing for the dead, he says, what does that even mean? What I'm thinking of particularly is on some occasions there are some Judaizing teachers who are... Oh yeah, Lee's got it. Tell me, Lee, what's going on there?
Well, at one point he told them they should emasculate themselves if they don't want to be circumcised. Why don't you finish the whole deal?
Okay. And also there are times where the Judaizing teachers, they lift themselves up because of their physical accomplishments. Paul says, I don't care about your physical accomplishments. But you know what? If we want to compare accomplishments for just a minute, I am a Jew. I am a Hebrew of Hebrews. I am a persecutor of the church. Just goes down the lines. Wow. If you want to swap resumes, let's look at these resumes. Gets them to think, and sometimes the answer that he gives is not for so that the fool will listen. Maybe there's no hope for that fool to listen. But maybe other people around him that are also listening, the other Corinthians who are listening, they're going to see the fallacy of the foolishness. And so you need to answer some of that foolishness. Does that make sense? And that takes some wisdom. But the book of Proverbs is a good book to turn to for that type of wisdom. Amy?
There's maybe a similar idea, I'm not sure, but when the disciples are asking Jesus about parables in Luke 8, Jesus says, some people are going to understand, but he intentionally is speaking in a way that people who don't want to understand are not going to appreciate it.
Okay.
Is that kind of like answering a fool according to their willingness to consider? I don't know.
Yeah, and there's also, but Jesus is also the perfect example of answering a fool according to his folly, where someone comes up and says, well, if that's true, then, you know, just, and they come up and say, well, what about this? The Sadducees come up and say, if a woman, you know, has a husband and he dies and he has seven husbands, well, who's this hypothetical scenario that couldn't happen, it's not going to happen, it's not ever going to happen. Jesus answers it and leaves everybody doing what? Wow. Look at the wisdom that he has. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Based off of, like, what they were saying.
Yeah.
About, I guess they just tested themselves. How can you feed people on the Sabbath?
Yeah.
Right? Then, like, how can you heal people, like, during these times? Like, who are you? And you are a fool.
Yeah.
But if you think about the Pharisees, they were wise in their own eyes. They looked at you every day.
Yeah.
And they just self-created and get acknowledging and respect that they're, they're foolish to think they're wise.
Okay, we have spent, and I have to apologize because my wife has to catch a flight in Newark, and I have to get her out that direction. So I'm going to be abusive and close down the class a little bit early so that I can run out the door with my family. But I want to impress on your minds, this has been really useful, I think. Just take the book of Proverbs and just read a chapter with your family. Just sit down and read a chapter with your family and just talk about, well, what is this? How am I even going to apply this? Where is the application? Work together, find some, and there are some good things that you can talk about, and then you feel like, okay, I am better prepared for my day. It's a really good practice. Okay, don't just stop at the book of Proverbs. Use Proverbs as, a jumping board to start a family Bible session maybe every morning. Start reading together. And boy, the kids love, reading out of the Bible and reading all these stories and reading out of the book of Proverbs and thinking, some of these are just grabbing a dog by both ears. What am I forgetting? Well, the mouth that's in the middle. that's very illustrative. That's a very dangerous position to be in. But these are entertaining. Once you start thinking about them, they're amazing. The Bible has so much wealth of information for us. Read it. And I hope that this has been a blessing for all of us. Let's go to God in prayer before we end. And let's be mindful of those who are not with us. And also, especially personally, just Amy traveling this afternoon. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, we are so thankful for the opportunity you've given to us this afternoon. Morning and afternoon to be together as Christians. We have been reminded of the great position that you have put us in as your church. We are not worthy of your great love, not worthy of the sacrifice of your Son, not worthy to be part of this great plan, to be a pillar and support of the truth. Lord, we are fools. We are ignorant. We are weak. Lord, you make us into the people you want us to be. You give us wisdom. You give us strength. You give us holiness. And we're so grateful. Help us to appreciate you more and more. Help us to appreciate you to the point where we turn away from the trash that's around us. And we give ourselves wholly to you. Help us, Lord, to not just to appreciate your sanctity or your holiness, but also appreciate your wisdom. Thank you for the wisdom that we've received in Proverbs chapter 26. Help us to go home and meditate on these things around the dinner table. Teach our children about these things. Teach our neighbors. Be men and women of wisdom. Your wisdom, not the wisdom of this world. Our God, we look forward to one day being home with you. Until that day, be with us. Be with my wife as she travels and be with the funeral preparations and please comfort those who are wrecked in their emotions. Pray be with the Dobbs, be with Jordan. Bless us all, Lord. We need your healing hand. We need your hand of safety. We depend on you. It's in Jesus' wonderful and blessed name that we pray this prayer. Amen.